Good morning. I'll stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Minutes from the January 2nd, 2024 meeting were circulated. Were there any additions, corrections, or substitutions? Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. To welcome up Bryce McKenzie and Mike Most with the Department of Extension to do the year in review for 4-H Extension.
Just want to run some handouts real quick to highlight the 4-H year.
You want me to start?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So, we came back in to give you a review, a look into what we did in 2023. From the packet that I handed to you is all of the 4-H details. So the front page there, of course, is the country kids doing their community service. They're doing the highway cleanup. I highlighted them there as they are our champion club as well this year. There on the second page, we have some fun facts for you just about the 4-H year. Some highlights are we have 329 youth in the program. That's an additional three that we gained again this year after graduating 15 seniors. So we had to replenish those and gain another three. 300 is kind of the number that is what we expected Johnson County 4-H to sit around. And the fact that we're pushing 30 kids above that average is awesome for us. We have 91 different adults that are certified in the program to work with kids. And we have 13 different clubs, and that includes a club that is for Buffalo High School. We, of course, partnered with them on the Buffalo Trap and Skeet Club, getting them a high school shotgun team. So that's another fun one there for us. Our number is, as far as enrollments, shooting sports is number one. We have 106 kids in there, 21 adults that have been through state shooting programs and trainings to work with kids and firearms. Swine sits number two. We have 92 kids in there. And then sheep, we have 82 kids that are showing sheep. As far as fastest growing, muzzleloader is number one. In our fastest growing department, our black powder kids are really taking off. The Burr family are doing a great job there. Coming in second is dog. We had over 20 dogs at the county fair this year. Huge jump for us. That was an awesome number. Clover buds. We are seeing a huge gain in the kids that are 5 to 7, which is very promising for the future of 4-H. And then lastly, STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and math. That program area is starting to grow. And then cake decorating continues its push to grow. The next page is some highlights there of community service that the kids have done through their 4-H clubs here in Johnson County. So that's just a fun way to list those out for you to see just the different areas that we have kids impacting. Then we'll move over to the partner page. Those are some partners that we have developed here within Johnson County and have used over the past year. And those guys, everyone that's listed there, along with all of our donors and volunteers, truly make 4-H what it is here in Johnson County. And so it's a really special program, a really special place to be. So that's the basic quick rundown of 23. Of course, if you have any questions, go ahead and reach out to us.
Great. Alrighty. Then jumping over to the report I put together, I'll do something similar, just going through page by page. So this time last year, I had been in the county for about half a year, and so I was in a different position, spending a lot of time focused on building relationships. I'm happy to share this morning that in the last year, I've been able to start putting on some programs and reaching out into the community that way. So looking at the first page there, program management, again, I recognize that I'm still fairly new in the community, so continuing to build relationships. I sent out a survey at this time last year and had a really great response there. I also spent several days this last summer in Casey with Anita at the Powder River Conservation District just to try and make myself more available to the southern half of the county. Looking to the next page, industry engagement. Not going to read all of these, but I spend quite a bit of time engaging with some of the professional associations around the state, traveling to meetings. That helps me network across the state, but also build my capacity as an educator. Flipping to the next, I have started hosting some educational programs, as I mentioned. A few that I wanted to highlight here, the Buffalo Garden and Rural Living Expo is in partnership with the Clear Creek Conservation District, and specifically Amanda Hewlett. Got that revived after a brief hiatus during COVID, and we're looking to host that again here this spring. And also a couple livestock-specific workshops that I brought in our extension specialist, Shelby Rosasco and Whit Stewart. And I'm definitely hoping to continue those relationships and bring them up here kind of on a regular basis and keep those things going. Looking to the next page, educational materials produced. I plan to continue writing for the local newspapers and also for some of the university publications and occasionally the Wyoming Livestock Roundup. So I definitely have plans to continue that. It's been a great way to reach folks indirectly. And also the social media accounts that I started when I began this position have continued to grow, and the reach of those accounts is continuing to grow. So really, really pleased to see the development there. Flipping to the next, statewide engagement. I've touched on this a little bit, but a couple specific instances. The small acreage issue team, which is one that I have identified as being particularly relevant to folks here in Johnson County, is one that I continue on with. Helping, you know, write and review articles for the magazine as well as planning educational events. We'll be hosting a small growers workshop in Sheridan here in April. So continuing there, and the Sheep Task Force is kind of a new project that Whit Stewart has roped me into, and we've had some really great response there. Really, really excited by the momentum that's building, and that's been kind of an effort to connect some of the newer extension educators around the state with producers and build relationship there. It was a really great event. We had 3 days in October that we spent together in Laramie. And we had a few from Johnson County that were able to attend. So definitely planning to move forward in that. Professional development. I sit in on a lot of seminars as much as my schedule allows and participate in continuing education trainings. So I'm not going to read that, but there's some information about a few examples of how I've sought out professional development in the last year. Looking to the next page, Bryce has got the 4-H program locked down. I'm just here to support him wherever I can. One big area in the last year that I stepped in was to help in the ShowWorks office during fair. And so that's the IT system that manages all of the entries, all of the placings, all of the awards. And it's a big effort. It's a big lift. And so I'm glad that that's been a place I've been able to plug in and help support the 4-H program. Looking to the back page, 2024 goals. I am not going to read these again, but planning to continue on in the direction that I'm moving with a lot of the efforts that I've mentioned here that I've gotten involved with over the last year. And until I get input from yourselves or from my supervisors at the university or anyone in the community that I need to do otherwise, I will just keep trucking. So happy to answer any questions. I included my cell phone number and email contact on the back, so call me anytime.
Keep up the good work.
Micah, can you explain or Bryce the 4-H Clover Bud program? I've not heard of that before.
Yes, the Clover Buds is a unique program for kids that say they have an older brother or sister in 4-H and they really want to be a part of it, but they're not quite at that 8-year-old requirement. We have a little section of 5 to 7-year-olds. So really what we're trying to do is encompass all those kids that are in kind of the school age range, so kindergarten up. Of course, we have some safety standards and some size parameters that, you know, by the time kids are 8, they usually have, crossed those barriers. There's obviously some that, you know, are smaller statured. But that 5 to 7 range of Clover Buds gives them introduction to 4-H programs. And so what we did in Clover Buds last year is we had a monthly meeting. 1 month we did a science project. We experimented with eggs. The next month we brought Micah in, and he brought seeds from the First Lady's Hunger Initiative, and we taught the Clover Buds how to plant and grow seeds, and then eventually those would be returned to our oh gosh, what was the program?
Grow a Little Extra.
The Grow a Little Extra program. So those kids would end up bringing those back there, which is a fun highlight because they gave a first, second, and third across the state cash prize for 4-H clubs to participate in the Grow a Little Extra program. Johnson County ends up first and third.
No, first and second.
Well, first and second.
First
sorry.
And second.
Sorry, yeah. First and second. It would be our top notchers and country kids. Mm-hmm. They ended up getting snuck in there, and heck, we didn't wear the two champion clubs there, so pretty awesome. And so those were things that Micah did for us, was he stepped in on that that first ladies programs and facilitated those in 4-H too, and those are tied directly into that Clover Bud program. So
thank you for that explanation.
Initial questions for the gentlemen. As always, thank you for your hard work. The fact that we have more kids per capita than anywhere else in the state participating in it's just example of your hard work, so thank you.
Thanks for your participation in the KC.
I'd like to welcome up Sylvia Bruner, the director of the Jim Gatch Museum, to go over a grant that they received and for us to take some action.
Does anybody need a copy of the grant agreement?
I believe it's in everyone's packet.
So. Okay. What would you like to know?
I'm fairly familiar with it, but brief everyone the scope of the grant, the work that you guys can use it for, the award amount.
Okay. Yeah. So it's from the Wyoming Cultural Trust Fund. To my knowledge, the museum has never received an award from them before. We don't usually qualify because it does require one-for-one matching funds to be in place for projects, and the timeline is fairly stringent. But because we took the Carnegie restoration work and chopped it into three phases, we were able to apply for phase two, one portion of this. So the grant, the maximum you can ask for is $50,000, which of course is what I asked for, and that is what they are granting us. So that could go towards phase two of work, which is another $200,000 total-ish. To me, the grant looks pretty simple. It's comparable to other grants that we've received. You know, you're agreeing that you're only going to use it for what you applied for. They need to be credited. They're very specific about how they want their credit listed. You know, if you ran into any delays, you have to let them know, that kind of thing. So the money can only be used for the restoration work on the Carnegie Building. Pretty simple there. And because we are using one contractor, Scott Loken, who did phase one, everything runs through him, so if there's any kind of issues of supplies, whatever, it just makes our lives a lot simpler because there's one person there to talk to. So the next steps is just get the paperwork back signed to them, and then we expend the money and they reimburse it on a quarterly basis.
Mr. Craigle, you had an opportunity to review this grant.
I did, Mr. Chairman. No issues. As Sylvia said, it's one of the more straightforward, simpler grant agreements. So, yes.
And for the benefit of the public, where does the Cultural Trust Fund money come from?
The legislature.
And so that would be a line item in the governor's budget.
Yep.
Commissioners, any questions for Sylvia about the grant, the scope of the work that they want to cover with those funds, or how it would be administered?
No.
There's no questions. What's your pleasure?
Move to approve.
Second.
There's a motion and a second to approve grant in the amount of $50,000 from the Cultural Trust Fund. Any discussion, commissioners? Hearing none, move us to a time of voting. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Sweet. Thank you.
Thank you. And Sylvia, did you also want to use this time to update the public and press about the recent work on the Native American Gallery and the recognition that you guys have received for that work?
I'd be happy to. I was hoping to have a little bit more official documentation in place, but I guess some of the federal government doesn't move on my time schedule. We did receive notification that we are being awarded a another grant application we submitted, I think in, I don't know, July, June, something like that, through the National Endowment for the Humanities. And I know this is the first federal grant the museum will have ever received because we never had our SAM registration, DUNS number, all that stuff sorted out before. So it's a $25,000 grant, but it's $10,000 outright, $15,000 match required, which we already have in hand from private donations. That was actually a requirement. None of the match could come from any other governmental funds. But this is specifically for our Native American gallery. And it's not necessarily for lumber and supplies, like we normally run into when we're working on exhibits, but it's to pay the people who need to have that kind of content control and direction. Backing it up, back in the 2010s, I forget exactly what year that gallery was completed, we made a big mistake in that we had no Indigenous people involved. And once that realization hit, the first thing to do is acknowledge it and then try to fix it. So what we have been working on is compiling a list of people from our regional tribes, representatives who are willing to work with us. The other factor that museums particularly have a history of doing is not paying people appropriately, especially sort of the underserved populations. So again, we're trying to not repeat mistakes, and we want to pay people for their time and their knowledge and their history. If they're going to be giving us all that information, they need to be compensated. Finding money for that can be difficult. We've had a few grants rejected, and then this one was successful. So I don't know exactly when the work will start, because I'm still waiting on the grant package to be sent our way, but we're very excited about that. And again, we already have the matching $15,000 in hand. So $40,000 project we're ready to move forward on.
Questions for Sylvia on that or any other museum-related items? I see one of your board governors here, so good morning, Craig.
Thank you.
Thank you. Right, commissioners, this next appointment came over from the court security team, so look to Jody for an explanation of the next action item.
The Sheriff's Office is just looking for the commissioners to appoint someone to be part of the court security team. We just want one person, one commissioner on there, and it meets about quarterly.
I think that Commissioner Novotny has worked hand in hand with the Sheriff's Office and the courts for several years, and my recommendation is to appoint Commissioner Novotny. And I'll make that in the form of a motion.
I will second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? It's fine, I'll already do it, so.
Aye.
There's no further discussion. All those in favor of appointing Commissioner Novotny as liaison to the court security team, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, we do have a couple of appointments that are carried over from our first meeting. The first is the Planning and Zoning Commission. There is one opening on that board. You have three letters of interest in your packet. The first is Lane Quam asking to be reappointed, and then also Harry Washington and Darcy Goney asking to be considered for that vacancy. So, commissioners, what's your pleasure on the Planning Commission?
I don't have a problem with any one of them. I'd like to reappoint Lane Quam. He has been a real asset to that group. So let's reappoint him. And you know, Harry Washit and Darcy are both qualified candidates. So I think I'll say let's appoint Harry Washit.
So, Did you want to reappoint Lane Quam?
Yes, I want to reappoint Lane Quam.
Okay, I didn't follow your...
Well, I was kind of wandering around a little bit.
Okay, so there is a motion to reappoint Lane Quam. Is there a second?
I will second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion?
No.
Hearing no further discussion, all those in favor of appointing Lane Quam, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Airport Board. We have a letter of interest. I know Commissioner Perry, you found this individual. And so Frank Farley, who was a commercial pilot and flight instructor. So what is your pleasure on appointing Frank Farley to the Airport Board?
I move to appoint Frank Farley to the Airport Board and thank him for his interest.
A second.
I have a motion and a second to appoint Mr. Farley to the Airport Board. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
We have two people to appoint to the planning and zoning.
We did one last meeting.
Okay.
Yep.
For some reason, thought we didn't have two of them in place last night.
And then we have an appointment also to the Fair Board. And I see that didn't make it on there, but you have that. And Kevin Rodriguez has asked to be reappointed to the seat on the Fair Board.
I move to approve Kevin Rodriguez's as reappointment for the first
second.
A motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Jody, does that clear the desk of all appointments for
yes,
this coming year? And remind us again, upcoming appointments.
We will have some upcoming appointments in July, but we're good until then.
Okay, and you'll keep all those folks on file in the event that there's any vacancies in any of these boards going forward. So, okay. All right. The next item on the commissioner's agenda today is Jennifer McCormick on behalf of the TA Ranch with some requests for the Fire and Ice Festivals. I'd like to welcome her up.
Good morning.
We are at the TA Ranch on Saturday doing a big Nordic themed Viking style festival. We are working with the local food pantry in conjunction with the BATS buses, and people are going to be able to ride the BATS bus after the event, but they have to donate food for the food pantry to do that. And what I was wondering is, could we put a little sign up over here in this public parking area that just says BATS pick up here for Fire and Ice Festival? We would put it up on Friday night, take it down on Sunday morning. We wouldn't drive any stakes in a sprinkler system. We're not going to block traffic. It's just going to be a sign so people know where they can be picked up.
Where at?
In the public parking area across. Is it over there? Okay.
Yeah,
don't go to the mall with me. I will get you lost every time. But, yeah, over there in the public parking area. Sorry about that.
So the first request is to use the county parking lot for pickup.
Yes, please.
Okay, and then is that the only request?
Well, we were hoping you'd have some barriers we could borrow, but I understand if that's not something you loan out. But just to keep, like we're doing a strongman, that it has a caber toss, and we need to keep people out of that area with the caber toss, and we tried to arrange some boundary areas that kind of fallen through on us. So we were hoping if y'all had some barriers you could loan us, we could pick them up Friday, bring them back Monday morning. However you need to do that, unless that's just something you don't do with county property.
And by barriers, like, we have, like, road closure type barriers that are like
that,
a sawhorse type?
Yes, those type of barriers.
Would that be Scott? Question?
Yeah, that's going to be a road and bridge question, but I think certainly I don't hear any opposition, but if we could just get a motion to approve use of the parking lot, and you can include the barriers in there as available if you wanted, or if you wanted to deal with that separately. But
I make a motion that we approve the parking lot usage for pickup and approval of using barriers if available.
Second that.
I've got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you. Hope we see you on Saturday.
Good. And what time does it start?
Starts at 10 a.m. Starts at 10 a.m. ends at 11 o'clock at night.
And cost of admission?
The cost of admission is $15. 12 and under are free. We've got a band, the strongman games. When the sun goes down, we're burning a Viking ship to send out the old year is the symbolism of it, and it's kind of a Viking culture thing. But it should be a lot of fun. We're hoping, what the point of the event is, just to bring more tourism in the winter and to give people locally a little more to do in the winter. And the weather looks like it's going to be beautiful.
Senior ice skating?
We can arrange that if you want us to do that. We can throw that together real quick. But, it's supposed to be 70 degrees warmer than last Saturday, so we're hoping to have a big turnout. Ticket sales are going great online, and we're hoping people are coming to town to spend the weekend. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. I see Mr. Waller is joining us. I'd like to welcome Jim Waller, the county planner, to go through his year in review, and then we're going to talk about floodplain mapping.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, commissioners. Let's see here. So I sent over some information to Jody, just kind of summarizing the end of your report, and dropped off some maps. Subdivisions quieted down last year. We did get the subdivision regulations amended. I flagged a little item in there about our fencing standards that we'll have to address somehow moving forward into this new year. Last year, there were 6 surveys approved for exemptions throughout the county. We had several large acreage record of surveys filed, and they continue to keep coming in. I think it was 35 plus parcels had been created using that 35 acre exemption throughout the county, probably over the last 14 to 15 months. Anyway, as far as the inquiries, it's still pretty quiet, but we still have a lot of big subdivisions that have vacant lots all over the place. That's why I thought it would be appropriate to give you guys the maps that I provided, kind of showing the development that's occurred in really the largest, kind of most active subdivisions at this point. The first one on the top was just Cross 3, and, you know, summary, you can see the number of houses that were built based on the time frame, and I really kind of looked at the last 4 years to try to get an idea of what's occurred, and so everything's broken out into increments of 4 years. So, you know, 11 houses were built in the last 4 years in Cross 3. You can see how many houses were built between 2008 and 2015 as being 5 in the legend is where I was pulling that. There's the green is the vacant lots. So as you kind of look through these, I tried to make sure all the maps were very similar. Emerald Park was the next one, you know, and it's the green are the vacant lots. There's some red dots. Those are addresses that have been assigned to those vacant lots for potential building. You know, the legend again, over the last 4 years, you know, 2019 to the end of 2023, it's 12 houses. You start putting those numbers together, and that's where I kind of really get in, you know, interested in some data. 62% built out based on the current house situation out there. Just looking at the number of people per house, you can kind of get an idea of how many people have moved in. Just in the subdivisions I gave you, so there's 4. Shores at Lake DeSmit was the next one, you know. Just to note for the board, Emerald Park has 79 lots. Shores of Lake DeSmet has 86 lots. There were 11 houses constructed out in the shores of Lake DeSmet over the last, you know, few years. And when you add up just cross three, shores of Lake DeSmet and Emerald Park, that's over 75 people in 1 year. So when you put it into the math and you start thinking about what the census reported, what were estimates, where we sit as far as the population today, it's very consistent in supporting that the county has grown, you know, probably 300-400 people. To what the estimates last year, I think our estimate was 8730, which is consistent with the number of houses we're seeing constructed. The last page was the other big subdivision that hasn't seen a lot of development, 99 lots out in Sand Creek. This is off French Creek Road. There is a house out there that is constructed. It's for sale, or going to be for sale, and I anticipate we'll see some development start sparking in this subdivision. So, like I said, there's no one living in that run right now. The other house that's out there just has a foundation, and they haven't gone any further. But these all impact planning and zoning. They impact what's going on with what you guys see coming out of my office and what we see in the community. So I just think it's really important that commissioners kind of get a feel for where we're seeing a lot of development. That's probably a third of all the septic systems that I receive for permits applications in a year come from these subdivisions. So I do have a continued request for a couple of different inquiries out on two different areas right now. One's out on French Creek Road. There's some parcels out there that are for sale, and so I've had inquiries about possibly minor subdividing out there, Coomer Road, and then obviously Traving Road has been a topic of conversation over the last few years. Have not received, and I do not have any active subdivision applications as of today. So, comprehensive plan, I'm not really going to get into too much detail on that. We did advertise that RFP. It went out for, I think it was officially advertised for 42 days. We hit the super ad with the state twice. I've coordinated with the newspaper locally. That statewide super ad hits every newspaper in Wyoming. And then we also put it on the Wyoming Planning Association and the Western Planner, which is part of the American Planning Association. So time will tell if we have some good inquiries, but we asked for February 14th as the deadline. That way we could make your next February meeting and give Jody and I enough time to get you guys a package, because that Monday is a holiday. And so we also set it up in the notice in the process that we got time for commissioners to accept those coming in and move through the process of making decisions. So I'll probably just make sure I'm keeping you guys all updated through emails and whatnot as far as we get closer and closer and closer to that date. It's going to be a lot coming in, I'm assuming. Hopefully, get some good response. So we did, Planning and Zoning did do a lot of discussion, and they did a lot of, I would say, some heartfelt discussions in work sessions and during the board. We did that survey. I know that's kind of a really awkward thing to think about, but it was really an evaluation for the county to understand where the views and the values and the things that we hold dear to our community and our county, so that we can kind of move forward. So that document from the planning survey, that did go out as part of the RFP, so that contractors know, you know, here's the basis of what we feel is kind of our value, and then they can look at the comprehensive plan. I still steer planning and zoning to some of the things that came up in that survey. We did 150 people. What did we get? 65% return or something like that. I mean, pretty substantial response. 20 pages of written comments total throughout the whole thing that just summarize, you know, don't do this, do this. We'll never have the answer settled on whether or not we should have a regulation or not, but that's not the point of this. The idea is the data in the comprehensive plan is really old, so we want to try to get that data updated and review and see where we sit as a community and desire. So septic permitting is pretty self-explanatory. I gave you guys the real numbers in there. With looking at the subdivisions, I would say that's very consistent. rural addresses assigned. That's kind of an interrelationship between the two. People ask for an address, then they're usually going to build a house, and I start seeing the septic system. So 34 addresses were reviewed and issued last year. And then, of course, just the general happenings and things going on throughout the office. We will be moving our 911 road data, which is on their dispatch computers, to the YDOT standard, which was adopted for GIS data, to just make sure that it's consistent with what they call the NG911 standards. And I've been working with he's appointed as a director. He's Destry Deirdrin from Lincoln County. And we've talked several times about what we need to do, and it's probably a slow-moving wheel, and we really don't have a lot of pain. Actually, a lot of stuff that we've done, we're already consistent with it. It's just a matter of starting to put in the data associated. And I let him know that as we move forward, no matter what addresses are issued, we're always updating and improving that data. So it's just something that's going to come down and should be pretty smooth. I included that overall revenue and then split it between the two fiscal years, so you guys could kind of get an idea of where that sits. It's consistent with where we were 4 or 5 years ago. I expect it to be in that same level. It's definitely quieted down, but it's still consistent with that rolling average of what I'm seeing for the number of houses per year. So with that, do you have any questions? You know, that's a ton of information.
Questions for county planner?
You're a very busy man.
It's data. So, I mean, you got to remember, I put that data in, and it's really fun to get a phone call from the paper and be able to try to report and then match it consistent with what the city's experienced too, because we're really kind of very similar. So that I can go into this flood information,
please.
Okay. Just really quick. So it's been about a year. I couldn't remember when, but it was about a year ago. The state flood plan coordinator with the state of Wyoming Office of Homeland Security is Kim Johnson. He and I have periodic reviews. I don't want to say they're yearly because sometimes it's more frequent than that. And we discuss what's going on in floodplain world. So last winter, late winter, we were talking about the winter and what was coming up and whether or not we're going to see flooding and all this different stuff. And then they start visiting with emergency management. They were wrapping up a project in Sublette County called Flood Management Services. And it's a program through the Army Corps of Engineers with the goal of looking at areas that have experienced flood damage, flood problems, and experienced growth. Buffalo has not had anything analyzed as far as a floodplain since 1984. Johnson County has no data where anybody's ever said, you know, here's the floodplain. The county is supposed to regulate and look at development inside flood hazard areas, and that's based off of the 1998 resolution. I think we do a fair good job, biggest being education. That's like letting people know that, you know, here's the situation, here's what we know. One of the things that this program does is they use what's called silver jackets. And when I sent the email, I misquoted what silver jackets was. Silver jackets is like the team. It's not the program. The program is the flood management services. What they do with silver jackets is it brings in all these people that know the hydrology data of a drainage, and they pull all that drainage in, and then they start doing the H&H analysis. And that's just the hydrostatics, and the hydrology review of that drainage. What we potentially could see from this is the benefit being applied outside the city boundary, to where the data exists on the northeast side of I-25 and the data exists on the west side of the fort, the state land. If we could go through this project. It's 100% fully funded through the Army Corps. We have to sign an interagency partner support form. I sent an email out to Kim and the Army Corps contact, just asking them questions about the form. Obviously, needs a signature on there. I don't have a problem signing anything. But I wanted to make sure the commissioners knew what was happening, what was potentially going on, and make sure that the commissioners were supportive in understanding of this project. They just wrapped up, like I said, a project of looking at an area of Wyoming. We have so much funding that gets allocated to Wyoming for looking at our drainages, and we will be the next county that officially gets flood mapped. And that has been said and said and said for years. So Carbon County has been in about a 12-year flood mapping process. So that's these are long-term massive projects. Anyway, questions?
So, Mr. Wall, you are our county floodplain manager. You have no issue with the steps then that are being proposed?
No, I think actually this is just going to be a great addition to the tools that we need to actually regulate by flood administration today. We had a development, and if you remember, I don't like picking stuff out of a magic hat. And we have to have that raw data, and collecting the raw data comes down to the county having to have the best available data. If we ever got mapped and things are built after that date, from 1998, that's where it becomes a problem. So I think it's where this is just an extra tool, and if they're going to apply it, we could benefit probably a mile directionally each side of Buffalo, hopefully, on top of whatever the city would collect from the data because of all the impenetrable surfaces. So they have to look at the watershed no matter what. And there's limits. They can only go so far, but what they would end up coming up with is an elevation that says, hey, this is your base flood. And I would just make sure last year, I don't know, we probably saw two flood events that qualified as that stream hydrology flow along Clear Creek, probably east of town. So, questions?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Walsh.
I'll get it supported. Like I said, I did share it with Barry and Tucker because it's an agreement. And this morning he was going to send me an email of the state's match and our match for time and participation. And I just said, how many meetings? And probably three over the course of a year. And it's all tied to the budget. Basically, and so hopefully we'll be awarded, and just because we're part of this and we send the support into the Army Corps does not mean we will actually get it. It's, you know, there's other areas in Wyoming that they're applying for, and we just get put into the project. So hopefully the Army Corps can get it done, and it would be great. So, and if you have any questions, feel free to send me an email. Just really wrap up planning and zoning. Changed their meeting times. They didn't change their meeting date. They just changed the time for the board. So we are meeting at 6 instead of 7. And I did get the calendar for 2024 to the paper to run for two notices. And then we went ahead and updated the website. So if you have any questions, you'll see it coming out. And we'll be meeting an hour earlier just trying to make sure the board members can be accommodated. So, all right. Thank you.
Madam Clerk, looks like you've got a one-day liquor license, is that correct?
Yes. Harper LLC, doing business as Cowboy Bar and Grill, have requested just a one-day catering permit to cover the Johnson County Fairgrounds Blue Jean Ball. It's on 2/17/2024. They have filled out their application, and they also have paid fees.
Before you, is a request for a one-day malt beverage permit for the Buffalo FFA Alumni Blue Jean Ball on the 17th of February. What is your pleasure?
Move to approve.
Second.
Got a motion to second to approve the one-day license. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. We also, as changed the county policy, you're now going to consider vouchers. And so it looks like the clerk has put before you vouchers in the amount of $68,456.23. Did any commissioner have a question on a voucher that they would like pulled from consideration?
I don't.
I did, but I don't. I saw that last number, $68,000.
That's the total.
Yeah, that's the total.
Not that one voucher, yes. Or the total. All right. Is there a motion to approve vouchers?
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second to approve the vouchers. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Do commissioners, before we entertain public comment, I would like to ask permission that Johnson County submit a letter of comment to the Securities and Exchange Commission regarding the natural asset companies. This is a push that is coming. Congresswoman Hageman is kind of taking the lead on this. We are on a short turnaround. I'm going to actually have to have this letter in on the 17th, and I've got to have comments for the Rock Springs RMP on the 19th, so it's not that I don't like extra work, but I would like Johnson County's opportunity to weigh in on this subject as it could severely impact private property rights.
Can you explain it a little bit?
Basically, it would be a way to trade like stocks, bonds, and this new type of company that could invest in natural resources. Basically, you would add a new value to your land. Something that could potentially be purchased by foreign entities or NGOs or environmental groups.
And the biggest fear is they believe there will be regulations allowing them to buy up BLM agricultural leases.
So
mining, oil and gas leases, those sorts of things.
I would make a motion to have Mr. Commissioner, Chairman, Commissioner Novotny write a letter to in support of Harriet Hageman's legislation. Isn't that what it was?
Well, she may have to pursue some. We're in the rulemaking process, so it would allow us to provide public comment to the rules that they're considering. I think after those rules are adopted, then you may see legislation to either prohibit inaction, defund, other things. But this is that step, just like in a natural resource plan where we would provide public comment. So,
yeah.
But your motion is to allow the chair to write a letter?
Yes.
Okay. There is a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Commissioner Shelley, I think you also had noticed that we need to make one change on the appointments. And so did you want to go ahead and make that in the form of a motion?
Yeah. Make a motion that we in this, it was just misspoken. The cemetery district is represented by Commissioner Perry, and they have me as a representative.
Okay. So you're going to move to formally appoint him to give you liaison?
Yes.
Okay.
Commissioner Perry will be liaison on the cemetery board.
Okay. There is a motion
and
a second to have Commissioner Perry continue to serve as a liaison to the cemetery board. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. I would now move us on to the time of the agenda for public comment. So we would welcome any public comment. Mr. Waller.
Mr. Chairman, just this idea on the securities and exchanges, is that what it was?
Yes.
Okay. Is that kind of tied to the same concept of what's happening in northern Montana with the up on the Charlie Russell wildlife where groups have come in and they're trying to collectively gobble up BLM leases, which in essence is affecting the local climate economically by losing the agricultural pieces. I had heard that there was a push to look at these things from a wildlife standpoint as well, which I just wanted to ask, is that kind of why this is going forward, or is that something that is completely separate?
I think it's in itself the same push. This is maybe a new mechanism to try to fund those efforts.
Okay.
So you could invest in that effort like you pick stocks on the exchange.
And then the idea is to try to say, no, don't support that because that would contradict, or is it to support the idea? Because I'm assuming we are a little leery of people coming in and potentially getting those BLM allotment areas.
This probably would be a letter in opposition to the establishment of the rules to set up natural asset companies.
I figured what it was. I know there's a lot of people that don't understand that, and it's a scary thing for a county like Johnson County with 48% public land.
I would continue that discussion with what's the potential of the Rock Springs RMP and setting a precedence there, the sage-grouse rules. It is a very scary time for public lands counties.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further public comment? Public comment. All right, I'm going to go ahead and close public comment. County Attorney's Office has requested a quick executive session to go over some potential litigation, and then I would remind everybody that we will be back here at 1 o'clock for the Board of Health, and also after that at the Justice Center Joint Powers Board. So is there a motion to go into executive session pursuant to Wyoming statutes covering litigation?
We're going to executive session.
Move to second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.